Every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now don't ask why, no one knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be perhaps his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. Whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve hating the Whos. Staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in the town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging a mistletoe wreath. And they're hanging stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here. Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming, I must find some way to stop Christmas from coming. For tomorrow, he knew, all the Who girls and boys would wake bright and early. They'd rush for their toys. And then, oh, the noise, oh, the noise. That's the one thing he hated, the noise, 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 noise. Then the Whos, young and old, would sit down to a feast. And they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, 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 feast. They'd feast on Who pudding and rare Who beast. Was something the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then they'd do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with the Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and the Whos would start singing. They'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, must stop this thing. Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming, but how? Then he got an idea, an awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. It always starts early. My daughter tries to start playing Christmas music in September. My wife won't let her, makes her turn it off. On Halloween night this year, my daughter got home late and gleefully declared that Halloween was over, so we could now start playing Christmas music, to which my wife suddenly morphed into the staunchest defender of Thanksgiving you've ever seen. The turkey must have his day! So Thursday, we had nothing going on at our house. Our family gatherings were on Friday and Saturday. So I had one of those rare days where I had absolutely nothing to do. So I loved to cook. So I spent all day in the kitchen making things for the gatherings later that weekend, making stuff for fun. My wife sat at the counter working on her laptop, talking to me as we cooked. My daughter stealthily snuck into the room, turned on our Bluetooth speaker, and very softly at first began playing, It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. My wife sighed when she realized what she was playing, resigned to the fact she had run out of barriers to the moment. The Christmas season had arrived. It isn't the playing of Christmas music that tips me off at first, though. It's something far more ominous. About mid-October or early November, at the latest, I will see these begin to crop up on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Someone will post the meme I dread more than any other. It isn't Christmas without Christ! Ugh. The harbinger of articles about a non-existent war on Christmas, how Christians are being forced to downplay their holiday because it might offend, how store clerks are smugly saying happy holidays as a slap in the face to the belief of millions everywhere, how some public institution is no longer allowed to put their 1953 nativity set on the lawn. You know, the one with the paint peeling off the donkey and the baby Jesus who looks like he was born in Dearborn, Michigan. Every year it starts, Christians itching for a fight about something, eager to be indignant about this moment in time, jump at the chance to boycott someone because they dare not let their employees say Merry Christmas or because they have a holiday tree. I see these ridiculous things pop up, inflated fake news articles about the offense we poor set upon Christians' face when we are just trying to celebrate the baby Jesus by standing in line for a great deal on a 53-inch TV to replace the 52-inch TV we got last Christmas because it's not just big enough anymore. Merry Christmas. So worried are we about perceived made-up slights we might have to contend with. We barge into the season bellowing at the top of our lungs, Jesus is the reason for the season! And I know that because it's on the 8 shopping bags in my trunk. Instead of embracing the ideals and the true reasons for this moment, the coming of Christ to us, the gift of grace, the emergence of hope and joy and peace and love at a time of fear and struggle, we instead become hyper-vigilant and hypersensitive to anyone who might not dare fully be allowing Jesus to help promote the gross overcapitalization of our consumeristic greed. It seems to get worse every year. To where now, when I see it arrive, I no longer see Christians straining to keep the focus of the season on Christ, but Christians just as wrapped up in that consumeristic greed, simply looking for a reason to be indignant. Simply looking for a reason to be adamantly outraged and irritated for the next 30 days. And in our overzealous hyperbole, as we stomp our foot and madly declare to the world that it's all about Jesus, we instead drive the world away. Congratulations, church, we have become the Grinch. We have stopped the true meaning of Christmas. But we don't have to be. This is a time to remember, to celebrate joy. That immense celebration of God in our lives, that moment that blesses us and lifts us. This is a time to remember and to celebrate hope. The idea that no matter how dark the night might become, Jesus is the light shining on us. This is a time to remember and celebrate peace, the coming of Jesus to heal us, to make us whole, and to set us free. This is a time to remember, to celebrate love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. If we devoted half of our energy, half of our attention, half of our focus that we now commit to our Christmas offense radar, diligently searching for which retailer would dare to not wish us a Merry Christmas as they give us 50% off the manufacturer's suggested retail price, if we took half of that wasted pious energy and instead focused on actually being the presence of joy, being the presence of hope, being the presence of peace, being the presence of love to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our community, to strangers. Well, what might a gift like that do? Imagine if for a moment we quit wondering whether or not the overworked, underpaid store clerk is going to mumble the appropriately approved holiday greeting and instead took it upon ourselves to look them in the eye and smile and say thank you and sincerely wish them a Merry Christmas with their family. Imagine what that might do. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or another, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, and bags. And he puzzled 3 hours. Till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.